All right, well, good morning. Hope you have a Bible. Got a Bible? If you don't have one, we can get you one. But let's take our Bibles and turn to John chapter 19. So you got New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. And we call these the four. Yeah, you can participate. It's okay. The four Gospels. And what that means is these are the accounts of the life of Jesus Christ. And his life is not like you and mine, yours and mine. We'll talk about that this morning. And then every one of those, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you find an account of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which we are going to really focus on this morning and talk about why that is important. And if you've never understood on an individual level what the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ is all about, my prayer is that that'll come real clear today. A lot of people know facts and know things about history, which we're going to discuss this morning, but it's no good if you never personally apply what you know to your life, your heart, to who you really are. So let's go John 19, and let's read the first 15 verses this morning here. John 19, begin there in verse 1. The Bible says, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, 'Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him.' Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, 'Behold the man.' When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, 'Crucify him, crucify him.' Pilate saith unto them, 'Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him.' The Jews answered him, 'We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God.' When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, 'Whence art thou?' But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, 'Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?' Jesus answered, 'Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin.' And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, 'If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar.'" You see some political things going on there? We'll make some mention of that this morning. Very interesting. Verse 13. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." There's a whole lot in that passage this morning, and just pray that the Lord will help us all get through this and have a lot of truth come out this morning. So let's pray together and ask the Lord to do that. Lord, we just want to ask for you to do things that only you can do. There's so many things we could discuss from this passage this morning, and I want to focus on and preach those things that you desire. Lord, you know the hearts of every one of us that are here this morning. You know what we all need, and I certainly don't know what we all need, but you do. We pray that you make this personal to every one of us this morning, and we ask that the name of Jesus Christ be proclaimed and be glorified this morning, and we pray this in his name. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask you to do something. Take your hymn book out, please. Take your hymn book. And I want you to turn to number one. And we're going to do some flipping here this morning. So this is just a little introduction here. The hymn book. What's the first hymn called in your hymn book? Jesus, I my cross have taken. Turn the page. Number two, glory to his name. Who's that? Well, look at the first little line there on verse one. Down at the cross where who? My Savior died. That whole hymn is about the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, I didn't know we were going to do this, but we sang number three. What's number three called? Jesus paid it all. Folks, we'll keep going a few more, but I think you get the idea. Number four, the way of the cross leads home. And this whole hymn is about what Jesus Christ did for you and me on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. Number five is When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And go on over to, I think it's 31. Let's flip a few more. Yeah. 1 through 30 are all about the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Look what happens when you get to 31. What's 31 called? Folks, the difference in the Lord Jesus Christ and every other person, every human being who's ever lived. Jesus Christ died, just like many before has lived and died. The difference is Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and what's the hymn say? He's alive. He lives. I don't have to ask. Everybody in here, you've known people, loved ones probably, who passed away. And I'm not trying to minimize anything, but they're still in the grave. Still, today, many years. Jesus Christ was in the grave for 3 days and three nights, and then He rose from the dead. You know where He is right now? He's still alive. According to your Bible, He's at the right hand of God the Father. And this is a sermon for another day, but He's coming back. How can He come back unless He lives? He's alive. Yeah. Go on through here. Look at 32. He lives on high. 33. Christ the Lord is risen today. 34. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Folks, you've got an entire book here focusing on one person in history, the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that the hymn book is not divinely inspired of God. It's not. It's men wrote these hymns. But I think that that hymn book, and this one's not anything special than any other hymn book, but this one has songs about a man who is still alive. Why would you write songs about somebody who's still in the grave? And there are songs about a few people that are still dead, but why would that be a big deal? They're no different than anybody else. Jesus Christ is alive. You got a testimony of that right here. Now let's take a look at history. I'll just give you a few names here from the history book. These are great people from history. George Washington, American history particularly, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln. Let's go some other people around the world. William Shakespeare, Christopher Columbus, Sir Isaac Newton, Albert Einstein. How about a couple of well-known composers, brilliant men, Mozart, Beethoven, a politician, Winston Churchill, an astronomer, Galileo. These men had great contributions throughout history. You can't deny that. All those men died, and they're still in the grave. The difference between all those men, and we can go on and on, the difference is Jesus Christ died, but He rose again. That's the big difference. Now, what we read this morning is about what happened prior to Jesus Christ being crucified. And there's a whole lot of just incredible information here. I want you to take a look at verse 4. There's a word that begins with a B in verse 4. Let's see how attentive you can be to the text here. What do you see in verse 4? The first word that starts with a B is what? Behold. And we'll talk about that first behold. You go a little further there, and you find verse 5, actually, at the end of verse 5, there's another behold. And it's behold the man. And then you get the last behold a little bit later where Pilate says, behold your king. Down there in verse 14, behold your king. So we're going to take a look at those three beholds this morning in connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's take a look. I'm going to read those first four verses again. And then we'll focus on this first behold this morning. It says there, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews, and they smote him with their hands. Now, time out before I read verse 4. Hold on a second. How are they treating the Lord Jesus Christ in those first three verses? He's scourged, he's mocked there in verse 2, and they're hitting them with their hands there in verse 3. How is he being treated? He's being treated like a criminal. And if you do a little study on the Romans, back in the days when Jesus Christ was on earth, those years where the nation of Israel was under Roman rule, the Romans were masters of torture. And they didn't just want people to be put to death. They didn't want them to just be executed. They wanted them to suffer. I mean, greatly before that. So they're treating him like a criminal. But then, look at verse 4. Pilate says something that is very interesting. Verse 4. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you that ye may know that I find, what's that say there? No fault in him. Now hold on. The only people that deserve to be treated like a criminal are people who are guilty, who are criminals. Here's the guy in charge, Pilate, and he says, I find no fault in him. All right, well, let's let him go. Should have happened, right? Didn't happen. Now, go on down there. I'll tell you what, back up to chapter 18 real quick. Back up to chapter 18. You may have turned a page there. And you'll find that's not the first time Pilate said that. Go back to chapter 18 of John there. And more on this conversation between Pilate, the Roman ruler, and Jesus Christ. Go to 36, 1836. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this then was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And then look at 38. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? What a question, huh? Now notice what Pilate does. He asks the man who is called in John 14 the truth. He asks him, he's the right guy to ask, what is truth? Notice the next thing that happens though. He says, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again into the Jews. Pilate didn't hang around for an answer, did he? You know, if you're really looking for the truth, you'll wait for the answer. Pilate just wanted to make a statement. He wasn't really interested in the truth. But notice what Pilate says, though. Here's the man. You talk about a psychological study, this fellow Pilate. Look what he says there in verse 38. After he goes out, it says, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, look what he says, to the Jewish nation here, I find no fault in him. Again, there's a second time. He says, I find no fault in him. You go on over there in chapter 19, you'll find again later on, Pilate says a third time, I find no fault in him. You know what that's called? Triple jeopardy. And three times, the fellow who has power to release him says, I find no fault in him. Yet, what happens? This man who is sinless, who is not guilty, ends up being crucified. So let's take a look real quick about this thing with no fault. Go over in your New Testament. You got to go over to the book of Hebrews for a moment. Go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 7. So you're in John. You got to go to your right several pages here. Let's get to Hebrews. Go to Hebrews chapter 4 first. And let's say some things here. Let's look at some things your Bible says about who Jesus Christ is. I tell you, this morning, really the thing that matters the most is who you believe Jesus Christ is. There's really not anything more important than that. I know that the focus right now in our world is, what do you think about the president? What do you think about the president-elect? What do you think about this? I mean, let's go on and on down the list, right? That's the conversation most people are having. You know what a lot more important conversation to have this morning is? What do you think about Jesus Christ? And I say that, it really is not about what you think. How about you look and see what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what's most important. It's not what I say about it. It's what the Bible says and how I line up with what the Bible says about him. So go to Hebrews chapter 4 and go down there to verse 14. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed unto the heavens. Who's that great high priest, folks? It tells you right there. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but, now watch the rest of this verse, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. There's the great difference between me, and if you're honest yourself, and Jesus Christ. I cannot say all points tempted, yet without sin. You know what I'm going to say? I'll be honest with you. Tempted and a sinner. And if you're honest, that's you. Jesus Christ was tempted in all points. It says right there, he's been through the same temptations you and I have faced, yet the difference is he never committed a sin. Isn't he worth looking at if that's the case? As being somebody that is a whole lot different than me and you? Okay, go to Hebrews 7. How about another one? How about another verse? Very similar. Hebrews chapter 7, a few pages over, go to verse 23. And it helps to know a little bit about the Old Testament priesthood here, but you don't have to know a whole lot. I'll just say this. In the Old Testament, they had priests who offered sacrifices. And what would happen is a man would bring an animal sacrifice so that he could be forgiven of his sin. The problem was, a man couldn't just do that one time. Because after he brought that sacrifice and his sin is taken care of, what's going to happen? He's going to mess up again. He's going to sin again. I've got to bring another animal. You know what's interesting? Before the priest could offer up a sacrifice for a man, you know what he had to do? He had to offer a sacrifice for himself. Those Old Testament priests are just like me and you. Now, they had a different responsibility, a lot different, but they're just like me and you. They're sinners. They needed a sacrifice. How about we compare those Old Testament priests to Jesus Christ? Look down there at verse 23, Hebrews 7:23. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. So those Old Testament priests, they would do their thing, and then after so many years, they would die. And that was the end of their ministry. Look at verse 24, though. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. And I should have read verse 22. It tells you who it's talking about. Look at verse 22. It's talking about Jesus. Now go to verse 25, a great verse. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I tell you, I underline in my Bible, to the uttermost. You know who Jesus Christ will save? Any and everybody. You might be sitting here this morning thinking, you don't know what I've done. I don't want to know what you've done. You don't want to know what I've done. I'll tell you this, though, we're all in the same boat. We're all guilty sinners before Almighty God, and we need somebody to save us from our sins. That's what Jesus Christ came to do. Real quick here, let's go back a few pages. Go back to the book of Romans. Take a look here at a couple verses here pertaining to me and you. Now, we talked about Jesus Christ, and we'll talk some more about it. Jesus Christ, let's say this to start off with. Pilate was right when he said, I find no fault in him. Jesus Christ is a whole lot different than me and you in that he never sinned. But what about me and you? Look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And let's go down there to the 23rd verse. You folks that have been coming to church for a while, you should know this verse. I want to make sure you don't just know it, but you make it personal. Look at verse 23. Romans 3:23. For, what's that next word? Okay, all have, can you help me out there? Is that all? Include you. I'll be the first to raise my hand. Includes me. Will you identify with that verse saying, I'll be honest before, not before me, I don't matter. Before Almighty God, He matters. And confess, that's me. I am a sinner. I'm being honest. You want to go through the Ten Commandments? We don't have to go but through a couple of them. You ready? Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. I know nobody in here has ever told a lie, right? What I just said was not true. Everybody in here has told a lie, okay? How about, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, I know we got adults in here this morning, but you back up, rewind a few years. How'd you do obeying your parents in every point? I didn't do so well. Okay, thou shalt not commit adultery. You got thou shalt not kill. You've got thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You know the most popular name to take in vain on planet Earth for all of time is? You know what name it is? It's the Lord's name. People think they sound authoritative when they use God's name in a cursing form, don't they? Isn't that interesting? Hollywood's all about that. When they want to sound authoritative, they know the name to use. They use it the wrong way. I'm not saying it's right, but isn't it something about that name? Something about God, the name of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Without even realizing it, they're acknowledging there's some authority behind that name. All right, how'd you do? We only went through a few of those. The Ten Commandments. How'd you do? You don't have to tell me. Doesn't matter. I don't matter. How'd you do before Almighty God? If you came short in one of those, James chapter 2 says you are guilty of all. How you doing? Jesus Christ, Pilate was right. He said, I find no fault in him. I cannot say the same about me or about anybody else I've known. I got faults. If you're honest, so do you. We're in trouble unless God made a way for us. Go over to 1 Corinthians. Let's see what the Lord did for us. Hey, the Lord didn't leave you hanging. Amen? After Romans, you have the book of 1 Corinthians. Let's go down there to chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15. Now, if you only catch this part of the sermon, this is a good part to catch. So, these are good verses. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. 1 Corinthians 15. Look down there at verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ, I love this. Christ died, but how come? Next three words. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Let me stop there for just a moment. Christ died for our sins. Now, the man that wrote that under inspiration of God is a man called named the Apostle Paul. And you know what he said there? He said our sins, including himself and our sins. He said, I'm a sinner. And he was identifying with the people that he was writing to, saying, you are too, if you'll be honest. I'll be honest with you. That our sins right there is me. Christ died for my sins. Christ died for Miss Charlotte's sins. Christ died for Sherry's sins. Christ died for Devin's sins, Don's. I mean, we go around the room here. There's nobody that Christ didn't die for. Amen? Would you put your name right there? Would you put your name right there in that verse? Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture. Let's keep going here. Verse 4. What do you do when, what do they do when somebody dies? Verse 4. And that he was buried. Now, we'll stop there for just a moment. If that's all there is, the Lord Jesus Christ is no different than any man who's ever lived. Death, burial. But the rest of verse 4 is dynamite. Look at it. It says, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Folks, the difference between the Lord Jesus Christ and any man who's ever lived, he, under his own power, defeated death. He rose again. Oh, did you know? He actually said before he died, destroy this temple, talking about his body. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. He prophesied of his resurrection before he died. I think he's worth listening to. He said, the Bible says there, he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And then you go on there in that verse, in that chapter, and all these people saw him. So eyewitnesses saw Jesus Christ after he rose from the dead. So that means, hey, he's alive. He paid for your sins and mine, and he's alive today. Now go back to John. Let's take a look at this next thing here. Pilate says over there, I find no fault in him. Now hold on. Why did he die if he never sinned? We saw there, all have sinned. We go to Romans 6. The wages of sin is death. If you drive by a cemetery this morning, I know that you don't usually think about this, but you could say truthfully, when you drive by a cemetery, there's a bunch of sinners in the cemetery there. And the truth is, everybody that is in that cemetery died because they didn't die of cancer, didn't die of heart disease, didn't die of COVID. You know when they died? People die because of sin. And we could take you through Genesis chapter 3 and how sin came to this world. Folks, there was not any death in this world until Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. There was no death. And death entered our world at that moment. And you know what's interesting? We read over there. Go there, John 19. Look at verse 2 real quick before we move to the next point. It says there, the soldiers, what did they put on his head? What do you see? A crown of thorns. You go back to Genesis chapter 3, and you'll find out that when sin came into the world, one of the curses of sin coming to the world are thorns. And when Jesus Christ, they put that crown of all things of thorns on his head, you know what he was taking upon himself? He was taking upon him the curse that sin brought into this world. Now those soldiers were just being cruel. They had no idea about this. They're just being mean. And you figure those long old thorns, they put that crown of thorns on his head, jammed it down in there, and the blood began to come down his face, and that was just the beginning of the bloodshed. And there it is right there. Here's folks, he's an innocent man by declaration of even Pilate. Yet he went to the cross. Now think about this. Here's an innocent man, yet he goes as a guilty man. Here's an innocent man, and he's treated, and he goes to the cross as if he's a guilty man. In fact, he's on the cross with two men who are guilty. He's in the middle of two guilty men. Innocent, yet declared guilty. Now here's me. I'm guilty. I deserve exactly what he went through. But you know what he offers? He offers, if you'll call on him, believing that he died and buried and rose again for you, he will declare you innocent. Because the innocent one, the Lord Jesus Christ, died in the place of the guilty. But you've got to believe on him and receive him and understand he did that for you. Now, I know. We got folks here that get testimony of this. You've been in churches where you've heard this before. And you say, yeah, that's true. And you know that historical fact. Yeah, there's a man named Jesus. And he died and maybe he rose again. But I'm talking about personal application. Just you and God. You and the Lord. You realize that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, did that for you. And you making the decision, not just because you came to church. Coming to the church door has got nothing to do with eternal life. But you make a decision, I believe that He did that for me, and I need to be saved because I'm a guilty sinner before Almighty God. And He will give you eternal life if you'll believe on Him today. Isn't that great? Isn't that news far better than anything you could get on NBC, CBS, ABC, ESPN, Fox News, Wall Street Journal? Come on. Don and I had a little conversation this morning. We're living in a world where it's never before been so much misinformation. I don't know what to believe unless I'm reading words out of the Scriptures. I can trust this. I don't know what else to believe. There's so much misinformation. You read a news article today, and there might be a little snippet of truth in there, but how do I know where to find it? Unless I actually saw the event happen myself, I don't know if it's true or not. Folks, what better time to engage with the truth of God's Word than now when this world is full of misinformation? I really believe right now what you've got going on is the work of Satan trying to confuse people like never before. I don't know if there's been a time in history, I mean the history of the world, where people are more confused than the year 2020 and 2021. And the reason why is people don't know what is true and what is not true. And I'm not going to tell you here this morning from the news because I don't know. I can't figure it out myself. But Sherry and I have had many conversations this week. I wonder about this. I wonder about this. And the bottom line is I don't know, but I do know this is true. So how about we substitute our newspaper reading for Bible reading? I don't know if people don't read the newspaper anymore, but getting on the internet and all that stuff, man, you want to be encouraged? How about right here? You want to be discouraged? Yeah, open up a website with news on it. Yeah, you'll be discouraged real quick. All right? Let's go back here. I want to get to the second point here this morning. Go to verse 5. I haven't made very much progress, but that's all right. Look at verse 5. And look at this next behold. Verse 5. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto him, look what he says here. And now every word of God is pure, right? Every word of God is on purpose. Look what he says. Pilate says, behold the man. Now, I am a man. I'm looking at Brandon back there. Brandon is a man. I'm looking at Brother Tom back there. He's a man. John right here. He's a man. Brother Bill over here. A man. I got a bunch of a mans in here. There's only one, the man. Now, I've coached and taught for many years, and I noticed in recent years, probably about the last maybe 5 to 7 years, the kids got into this thing about anytime somebody does something really well, say in sports, or they do something that just is mind-blowing, and I've said it myself. I hate to say it. I've said it myself. They will say, you are the man. You ever hear that? Started off with old Pilate. But Pilate got it right, didn't he? Pilate said, behold, you understand that article, the, means there's only one. Now, I'm looking at men in here. I'm not trying to say you're not a man, you fellas in here. What I am saying is you're just a man, and so am I. You want to know the real the man? It's Jesus Christ. Let me show you why. Go to 2 Timothy real quick here. Actually, 1 Timothy, rather. 1 Timothy. You got to go to your right. You got Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and you'll get to 1 and 2 Timothy. Go to 1 Timothy. Go over there to chapter 2. The man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the man. Take a look at this verse. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 4. Actually, back up verse 3. Let's get some context here. Verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Look at verse 4. Who will have, what's that next word? Not just some. It's not just some. It's all. You know who that is? It's everybody in here. That's everybody over there, wherever they are. It's everybody over here in the houses in Hickory Hill. It's everybody over there in Orlando. If Jesus Christ did something for all men, let's look what he did. It says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men. Watch what it says. The man, who is it? Christ Jesus. Here's a holy almighty God over here. And I got the pulpit right here to be the division here. Here's a sinful, unholy man over here. A sinful man cannot have fellowship with a holy, almighty God. Impossible. Impossible. But did you notice what the verse said? There's one God. Here we go. But there's a, what's it say? There's one You know what a mediator is? If you ever dealt with this in a court situation, it's a middleman. It's a guy that's in the middle. One mediator between, what's it say, folks? God and men, and who is it? You understand the price that Jesus Christ paid on the cross made it possible for sinful men to know and be in fellowship with Almighty God. He's the middleman. He's the mediator. That's a Bible word. The mediator. The man. You notice it says the man right there? There's only one mediator. There's only one real, the man, and that's Jesus Christ. Go over to Galatians. Go back to your left here a little bit. Just a few pages. Go to Galatians 4. Let's take a look at this. Something about Jesus Christ. Pilate said over there, the Jews said over there, they said he made himself the Son of God. Talking about Jesus. Look at what the Bible says. Look at Galatians 4. Galatians 4:4. It says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Now hold on, verse 4. Made of a woman. Now were you born of a woman? Everybody in here. You know who else was born of a woman? The Lord Jesus Christ. Now his birth was different than ours. It was a virgin birth. Nevertheless, Mary gave birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at verse 5. There's Jesus Christ being born of a woman, just like me and you. He's a man, the man. Look at verse 5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, no man could do what the Lord Jesus Christ did there in verse 5. What did he do? What's the act? Redemption. So you understand, the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid the price for sin so that you could be redeemed. You understand how he did that? Back there to John here. Let's get this last thing here. John chapter 19 again. And you understand, we can say a whole lot more about this, but Jesus Christ is not a man. Jesus Christ is the man. Now, the world looks to the Marines, the Navy SEALs. Some look to the NBA, the NFL, and they say, there's a real man. And I say, what a joke. Not trying to minimize any of those. Some of those guys are rough and tough. Absolutely. And some of those guys I wouldn't want to get in a fight with. I wouldn't want to get in a fight with any of them. However, none of those men can do what the Lord Jesus Christ did. You know what he did? Reading down through John 19, a real man, and there's another sermon for another day, but a real man does right and is willing to endure suffering when wrongly persecuted, and does it for the benefit of others. Did you catch that? A real man, and there's something for all of us men in here to learn. A real man does right and is willing to suffer, even if wrongly persecuted or wrongly executed, and he does so for the sake of other people. That's a real man, the Lord Jesus Christ being the ultimate example. Isn't that something there? So we could say a whole lot more there about Jesus Christ as the man. Look down there at verse 12. I'll just give you a little side note here. You know, your Bible is always applicable to the modern day, right? Now, there's all kinds of crazy political nonsense going on right now, isn't there? Stuff we don't even know about, I'm sure. Look at verse 12. You talk about behind-the-scenes stuff. Look at verse 12 before I get to this last point. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, verse 12. Yeah, I said verse 12. Read verse 13. Verse 12. And from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, now watch what they said. If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. You know what they're doing? They're saying, now you're the guy in charge. You're the Roman authority in charge of this region. But hey, if you're going to let this man go, the guy above you, he's not going to like you. They're bargaining with him from a political standpoint. You understand what they're doing? They're bargaining with him so they will do exactly what he wants them to do when he knows they're wrong. He already said, Jesus Christ, I find no fault in him. Did you catch that? They're bargaining with a man to influence him to do something that he does not want to do, but his job is at stake. People might not think very highly of him anymore if he does what he knows is right. You talk about a great division. The real man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and Pilate. What a division there. That man Pilate was fearful because he was afraid he'd lose his position. And he knew, men, this is for me and you. He knew what was right, but he feared because he thought, oh, people are not going to think very much of me anymore. I'm not going to be important anymore. This is just a side note for all us men in here. Let's stop thinking about being important, men, in the eyes of other men. How about we think about what the Lord Almighty, Lord God Almighty wants instead? That's most important, especially in this climate that we're living in right now. We got to get to a place where we don't care what people think. We need to care more of what God thinks. And I'm telling you, the pressure's already on. You feel it already? The pressure's on. This Bible stuff's not all that important. The pressure's on. You don't really need to go to church. The pressure's on. And folks, what better time than now to say, you know what, we're going to push back and give some pressure. We're going to do right according to what the Word of God says. We don't care what kind of pressure. We don't care if we lose our jobs. We don't care what we lose. We're going to please God. Now, I say that. Us men, I'm preaching to myself here, we need to be ready to step up here today. I don't know what's coming this week. It might get really crazy. You willing to side with God and not care what men think? Don't be a pilot. Don't be a pilot and think, well, I might be in big trouble here. I'm not going to get a nice salary. I'm not going to have a nice house anymore. People are going to think wrong. All these bad things about me. But he knew it was right and he didn't do it. Let's make sure if we know what's right, we do it in the sight of God. All right? Last thing here. Let's get down to verse 14. It was the preparation of the Passover in about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews. Look what he says here. Behold, what's that next word? I can spend a whole lot of time on this. I'm going to wrap up here this morning, though. Behold your king. And Pilate is saying, hey, all these Jews, he's saying to them, this is your king, isn't he? And look what they say. Let's make this personal this morning. Look what they say. They cried out, verse 15, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but who? Let me ask you a question this morning. This is something we all ought to think about. Who's your king? I'm not talking about the President of the United States. Nothing to do with that at all. Zero. Who's your king? Who is your real authority? Who's calling the shots in your life? Who is it? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I can't answer that for you. Only you can answer that. I ask you that question to answer before Almighty God right now. Just you and the Lord. Who's your king? If anybody is your king besides the Lord Jesus Christ, you got the wrong king. Now, let's go through a couple things here. I'm talking about spiritually. Is he your king? You realize the king, actually, you go on in John 19, he died. But he didn't remain in the grave. He rose again. After he rose again, he offered eternal life to anybody who would just believe on him and call on him to save them. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not about going to church. It's not about doing good things. It's about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. At that very moment, he becomes your Savior. But then you've got a decision to make. Am I going to run my life according to what he says? We've got a book right here. This is God's Word. It happens to be a King James Bible. This is the King. The Word of a King. And I ask you, who's your King this morning? Now, Jesus Christ is your Savior. If you're already past that, I'll just ask, is he your King? Are you following in the steps that he wants you to walk? If you're not, how about you make some things right this morning? Let me back up here and... He can't be your king until he's first and foremost your Savior. Is he your Savior? All these things he went through in John chapter 19, he did that for you. What have you done with it? Let's pray together this morning. Let's bow our heads. And we could be loyal to a lot of different people. We could put our trust in a lot of different people. Folks, the only one that matters is the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what the Lord might be showing you this morning, but we'll just take a little time here for you to do business with the Lord. And I'll pray here in a moment. Only you know who your king is. Only you know what you've done with the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, burial, resurrection. I pray that if you've never made a decision to believe on him, that you'll do that today. And you won't put that off anymore. Folks, we're not guaranteed another moment. Don't put off a decision for eternity that you need to make right now. Nothing more important. Whatever's happening this afternoon is not near as important as what you're going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you so much for just the freedom that we have to preach this morning. We want to pray that spiritual work be done this morning here in the hearts of all of us. We may have some folks here this morning that have never believed on Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I pray if that's the case, they would not be confused, but they would understand very clearly how simple it is to be forgiven of all their sins and to have eternal life through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's